We wanted a show that was totally trivial, irrelevant and irreverent. And I'm glad to say that that fine principle has been rigorously upheld. The cast was to be the original I'm Sorry I Read Again cast. John Cleese, who was earning even more than Graham and Bill put together, and still is, declined. Then he joined up, and then he declined again. I stood down from performing to just produce the show. So we needed a chairman. Now, since the show was to be an improvised I'm Sorry, the analogy with jazz as the antidote to scripted music and text was much on our mind. And neither of us can actually recall who first said Humphrey Lyttelton. But that was the most inspired idea of all. There's no doubt about that. Now, of course, 30 years later, it is obvious when you think about it that the show needed an old Etonian ex-guardsman trumpeter. The show was a complete and utter shambles. It took me over 20 hours in an editing channel to get it into shape for the controller to hear. His name was Tony Whitby. He loved it, and he backed it, and the show owes him a tremendous amount. It is actually remarkable that a programme devoted to being unremittingly silly should have survived so long. Its achievements, I think, are threefold. One, that anyone called Samantha will always get a second glance. That all foreigners believe that all stations lead to Mornington Crescent. And that careers masters in all schools and universities compel their students to listen because it demonstrates beyond peradventure that a living can be made talking rubbish even outside Parliament. Here endeth the lesson. Good to see you again.
Special 30th anniversary edition of I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Lyttelton.
Welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us at the Playhouse Theatre in London's West End, where, in celebration of 30 years of the programme, we've been asked to record a special show. And that's not our only first this evening. What a different place Britain was back in 1972. The first series of Last of the Summer Wine had only just begun its 17th repeat. And there were just three television channels showing a limited selection of comedy, drama, news and sport. How TV has changed today, with digital technology providing many hundreds of channels showing a dazzling variety of gardening. The Britain of 1972 was in economic turmoil as car factories, docks and coal mines were hit by strikes, mass walkouts and picket lines. Three curses eliminated by later governments. Car factories, docks and coal mines. Also that year, the plan to build a channel tunnel was scrapped amid fears that thousands of poverty-stricken migrants might attempt to rush through it. So the government of the day sensibly decided not to let us out. On the world stage, US President Richard Nixon was re-elected and quickly appointed Spiro T. Agnew as his vice anagram. Nixon... Nixon became the first ever American leader to visit China. He was invited to Peking to mend a governmental rift as Mao Tse-tung was fed up having to use the escalator. President Nixon later became known as Tricky Dicky after the Watergate affair, as later did President Clinton after the Lewinsky affair. Also in America.